Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah. Yeah!
Welcome to a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you on the afternoon drive. And today, it's Football Wednesday. Typically, it's Football Tuesday. But due to Labor Day, we moved it back a day. We have all kinds of football to get into. In fact, tomorrow night, we're going to bring back NFL football right here on KOAL as the Chicago Bears and the Green Bay Packers will go toe-to-toe. A lot of football talk on tap today. We're going to be talking NFL, a couple of trades over the weekend that I really want to dissect. The Dolphins moving Laremy Tunsil. He goes to Houston. Very big price tag placed on Laremy Tunsil, but I think it was necessary. I really do, and Vinny Rondinelli will be joining me in just a bit. We'll get his thoughts on that trade. I know the price was steep, but I understand Houston doing everything they can to protect Deshaun Watson. Also, Jadeveon Clowney. On his way out of Houston, goes to Seattle. It's a dangerous front seven, and Seattle got him for a third-round pick. Relatively cheap. So, again, I want to talk about a couple of trades. We are also going to talk locks. Three locks from the AFC to make the playoffs. Three locks from the NFC to make the playoffs. We'll go over those a little bit later on in the show as well. Now, with that being said, there are a couple of other storylines that really I don't care to talk about in depth today on the show, but we definitely have to mention them. Ezekiel Elliott finally has re-signed with the Dallas Cowboys, a $90 million extension. He says he believes he's the best running back in the league. I don't believe he is, but I like the confidence Dallas paid him as if he is the best running back in the league, because that $90 million extension includes $50 million guaranteed. Now, Todd Gurley of the Rams was the highest paid running back. He had $45 million guaranteed and $15.3 million price tag. Ezekiel Elliott now at $15 million with $50 guaranteed. Was not the only extension. The Los Angeles Rams have also extended Jared Goff. It's a record-breaking contract, the most guaranteed money in the history of the NFL as Jared Goff. I think he deserves it. I really do. I know a lot of people were criticizing the Rams for this deal yesterday. It's a four-year extension for Goff worth $134 million, and $110 of that is guaranteed. Look, this guy took the Rams to the Super Bowl. I have no problem with it. They gave up a kitchen sink to move up to draft him number one overall. I think the Rams did just fine here, locking up Jared Goff. More importantly, they have Goff, Donald, Gurley, and Cooks locked up for the foreseeable future. They have paid their main corner pieces. Now some question marks will come in. What do they do with Marcus Peters? What do they do with Aqib Talib? There's some big question marks on the outside for the Rams as we move in for the upcoming season. But nonetheless, the big pieces have been locked up. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front as far as the NFL goes. We take a look at Major League Baseball. A lot going on there as well as we get down to the final 20 or so games. One final from earlier today, the Mets top the Nationals 8-4. A fairly full slate of baseball coming up throughout the rest of the afternoon. The Rangers battle the Yankees. We get the Phillies and the Reds. The Marlins will take on the Pirates. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour, along with the White Sox and Indians, the Twins, and Red Sox will battle it out. The Giants and the Cardinals. Then in the 6 o'clock hour, we get the Tigers and Royals. Three games past the 7 o'clock hour tonight. Padres, Diamondbacks, Angels, A's, and Dodgers, Rockies. That's a quick turnaround of what's happening right now on the national sports front. We're going to flip to the local scene in just a moment. We'll be joined by Emory High School football coach John Famalo. And again, it's Football Wednesday. A lot of NFL talk coming up right here on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You watch the games. You follow the team. You wear the colors with pride. and you have questions, and only one man can answer them. Get the answers to the tough questions.
Let's talk high school football here on Drive Time Sports. Originally scheduled for Friday, the Emory Spartans were to travel on the road to take on Juan Diego. Unfortunately, that game will no longer take place. Instead, Emory has forfeited that game. They'll take the bye week. They'll return to the field next week to take on JUAB. We'll discuss that and also last week's game against American Leadership Academy. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about that, we have head coach John Famalo. Coach, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for having me, John. Jordan, appreciate it.
Yeah, look forward to it every week, Coach. Well, we'll start by talking about this upcoming Friday's game. Originally scheduled, go all the way back to take on Manti this week. That changed, Coach, become Juan Diego, and now that game has officially been called off as well. So no high school football for the Emory Spartans this weekend.
Yeah, we are off this week, unfortunately. Certainly, circumstances are a little bit different. I'd love to be playing this Friday, but with injuries and other things we have, we just felt like it was in the best interest of our team and our kids to get a week off and rest. And I say it's one of those we didn't feel like, I mean, I didn't really want to take the game in the first place because we originally had to schedule with Manti. They double booked us and didn't want to lose the game. So kind of you look back and you wish you wouldn't have done, wish if you would have did this. At the end of the day, it's a canceled game, forfeit for us, and so that's kind of where it's at.
Yeah, if we really look in the ins and outs, Coach, of the forfeit, I mean, it really certainly is in the best interest of this team. And we can start by talking about the injury bug. It goes back to this past Friday's contest against ALA. I know there was no Aiden Mortensen in this contest. We saw James Bowman leave the game with a shoulder injury. And then, of course, Seth Justice goes down on the final play of the game. Those are just a few key notable injuries. But nonetheless, this team has been bitten by the injury bug in a massive way throughout the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, we have. I mean, like I say, it seems like it happens every year, and you'd hope, you know, you hate that to happen to kids, and again, especially season-ending ones like Riker and, you know, possibly Seth now, and so, you know, safety and health of the kids is most important for me as a coach, but at the same time, that's part of football. Kids hopefully understand that as they go in, and so, you know, you try to do everything you can as a coach to teach proper technique and other things to avoid injury and working in the off season, but inevitably it seems like it happens, and for us it's been more than not.
Let's talk about the quarterback situation, Coach. You had mentioned Riker. He goes down opening game at home against Millard, takes a tough shot as he's scrambling outside of the pocket. Final play of the game this past Friday, Seth goes down, and so 3 games into the season, down 2 quarterbacks. What was the extent of Seth's injury?
So just honestly, it was a really bad concussion when he hit his head off the turf. I mean, body kind of went in shock and lost a little bit of feeling in his legs and other things. And so, you know, really concerned about that. So ended up taking him to the ambulance, went to the hospital and checked him out, did the CAT scans and everything, and no broken bones, anything like that, but just a really bad concussion. And just grateful that, you know, he's able to walk and, you know, kind of back. I don't know if he's back to normal, but or back to school, but just grateful that, I think in the end, I think everything's going to be all right.
Where does that leave the team as far as a quarterback situation, Coach? I know at the beginning of the year there was the talk, okay, is it going to be Riker or is it going to be Seth? And then both are now down to injuries. Where does that leave the team from the quarterback spot?
That's where we're at. We're evaluating a few kids right now. I mean, when Riker went down, we put Jax Madsen kind of as a backup. We have Tyler Stilson. He's our JV quarterback. He's competing. We honestly threw in Luke Stilson, who's been a lineman, a kid that's played quarterback when he was a freshman. And so, you know, I've got 3 kids trying to evaluate and try to figure out who's going to, you know, be the best for us moving forward. So, you know, that's part of the reason of, you know, canceling the game, is just trying to get our ducks in a row as to, you know, how we're going to move forward and with who and what kind of offense we need to make adjustments to be able to continue to be successful.
Now, I've always felt, Coach, part of the key to being a successful quarterback is move fast but think even faster, especially at this level. Has that mentality been difficult to establish for these kids, or do you feel comfortable with them knowing the lay of the land of the offense, you know, practicing every day, or are they specifically know assignments on the offensive side of the ball?
I think they have a pretty good general idea. I mean, Jax is a receiver. Tyler Bilton's been doing quarterback for JV, so he has a pretty good feel for the offense. Luke, it's probably new for him. And so I think overall they have a pretty good feel of the offense. But for us, it's, you know, we've got two quarterbacks hurt, and you know, losing another one, that's not really an option for us. And so it's one of those we've got to maybe scale back the offense, like you say, get the ball out of our hands a little bit quicker, and maybe stay a little bit more to a ground game and grind it out. Because we honestly have some really good running backs, and we saw a little bit of that last week. And so I think that's kind of what we'll gear towards, and try to grind it out a little more, take some clock, let the clock run, and let those backs see what they can do in our line.
I know it's always next man up. I mean, that's the mentality you have to have, especially when you have a lower numbers and you're a lower 3A school. But with that being said, Coach, it's a little bit easier to have the next man up mentality when we're talking about, you know, a lineman, not to diminish what they do, or a lineman or a running back or a tight end or a receiver. It's a different scenario than when it's a quarterback.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you can get reps in practice and those number two reps, but they're just not quite the same with game speed and repping that, and a kid that hasn't played that before, I mean, even from JV to varsity, is a big step between those two levels. And so, yeah, it honestly is a whole different animal when you're talking about a quarterback versus maybe a lineman or even a running back or other type of skill positions, with the fact that there's a lot going on. There's a lot they have to process and be able to do it quickly and put you guys in a position to be able to run your offense efficiently.
Again, we're being joined right now by Coach John Fumalo, the Emory Spartan football team. Coach, it's not all bad on the injury front. We did see Zion Gipson make his debut this past Friday, and it was a much-needed boost to this offense. Zion had a terrific first half. I believe he finished with 62 yards and a touchdown, if I'm not mistaken. Showed exactly what he's capable of doing, and the offense looked very good for a couple of quarters in this game this past Friday. How did you assess Zion's first performance of the season?
I thought he did a good job, honestly. I mean, for what we had, I mean, the second half we were a little hurt. We missed Jace Curtis. The first half we kind of ran with an H-back and, you know, running a little bit more physical, having another hat in the box. And once we lost Jace, that second half, you saw our running not maybe as effective. And then, again, they were bringing a lot of pressure up the middle, and we needed to be able to make some throws on the outside that we missed a little bit. But so far as Zion, I thought he did a good job. Still got to get in shape, but for the most part, I was happy to see him back on the field.
Definitely missed James Bowman in the second half as well, Coach. I know that so every team that we play against is going to focus on James at some point in time. How critical is he to what you guys want to do on the ground?
Oh, I mean, it helps a ton. When you know you can't single up a receiver, you know that you extend that box, especially when we try to spread them out. So less guys in the box allows you to run it a little easier. And so having him as a threat and being able to make sure you keep safeties honest and making sure they stay over the top of him, that helps running the ball. And so that's, again, what we missed a little bit, for the fact that they really came down with those safeties and made us, forced us to have to throw the ball. And we did. At times we were good, but struggled a little bit the second half.
Now, Coach, let's jump back over to this week. Now that you guys have an off week and you can kind of focus on just you throughout the week, what's practice been like? Has it been any different for you guys at all?
No, I mean, it's the same routine. Again, that's why I'm trying to tell the kids, it's not a vacation week. It's not a, I mean, we're not treating it as a bye week. It's we're prepping. Again, we still have a JV game that we play, Manti, JV freshman game, and I think that's where we're going to kind of evaluate QBs, honestly, and maybe get a few reps that way with some of those kids. And so mentally, I'm trying to get them prepared, like the regular game week, the fact that, you know, we got to continue to get better and get kids who haven't played in certain positions up to speed and going full speed. And so, you know, that's our mentality. And so trying to get those kids to catch that and not feel like, hey, I can take a week off and we'll get ready next week. So that's been a challenge. But at the same time, I think we're trying to do a good job of trying to get these kids straightened out that way.
At what point in time, Coach, do you guys begin to work on JUAB?
Again, I don't have any film. I mean, we've got last year's film that we can start looking at, trying to get an idea. Again, Coach Bowering's been there a long time. I imagine hasn't changed a bunch. They're a tempo team at times, and they're a grinded out team, and they'll air it out as well. And so a lot of threats on that team. But probably starting Thursday, Friday, we'll probably start getting some kids some film and getting them some ideas of what's coming down the pipe.
Lastly, Coach, I want to go back and talk about Friday's performance. I thought that there was an inspiring effort against Millard. Obviously, there was a decent first half against North St. Pete. But when you go back and you look at the four quarters that you guys put together against ALA on the road, was that the best game that you feel this team has played so far this season?
Yeah, it is. And so, you know, you got to take the positives out of it. Certainly, I felt like defensively we competed. I mean, we gave up the touchdown and the field goal at the end, but I thought defensively for, you know, three quarters, we honestly did a really good job of locking them down. So overall, I thought both sides, we were able to move the ball offensively the first half, kind of stalled out the second half. But, you know, I think kids are starting to catch what we're trying to do and how good of a team we can be. ALA is no pushover. They're a good team. And so, I mean, we had plenty of opportunities to win the ball game, and so that's our next hurdle is, hey, how do we finish off these games that, you know, are well within our reach, if not, you know, winnable games that we got to figure out how to win a game.
Coach John Fumalo, again, of the Emory Spartans. Coach, it's always so great to get you on the show. Thank you again for the time, and we'll talk again real soon.
Hey, thanks, Jordan. Really appreciate it.
Again, Emory High School football coach John Fumalo taking out the time to join us. You can get a complete recap of last week's game against ALA at CastleCountryRadio.com right now. We'll also bring you next week's game as Emory plays host to JUAB. We'll pause for just a moment. It's Football Wednesday. We'll move over to the national scene when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM live from the Auto Farm Studios.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio.
You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 AM.
Welcome back to Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. Football Wednesday here on the show. Of course, typically we do this on Tuesday, but because of the Labor Day holiday, everything got pushed back one day. Vinny, a lot has happened in the NFL over the weekend. We had a couple of trades go down.
Oh, man.
You always expect something right before, you know, after the fourth preseason games, final adjustments, right? Final
yep.
moves. I didn't expect what happened over the weekend. I didn't expect the Texans to move Clowney in a deal that did not include Tunsil.
That was two separate deals for Houston. Big deals. Normally there's some back-end roster movement, maybe a few surprise veterans that were on the edge, you know, fringe players. But we've seen some major movement the last couple days, a lot going on in the NFL. So, I mean, big-time deals, and some we like, some we don't.
I like the Clowney move for Seattle.
Oh, that's a win-win. That's a home run for Seattle.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, in fact, when
even on a one-year deal, it's a win-win.
It is. I mean, seven, because here's the thing. You got to look at who you play six times, right? You got to look at the opponents that you play six times.
Oh, yeah.
That front seven against the Rams and the 49ers, and we can forget the Cardinals for the time being, but that's a move geared towards two teams that you're going to have to play two times.
Exactly.
That's why that move makes sense, even for 1 year.
And you want to get back in the wild card race, right? Because we can agree the Rams are still the favorite in the division.
Sure.
If Garoppolo plays, the 49ers have improved. And so they're going to be tough. And this gives L.J. Collier, their first-round pick, some time to develop. It gives Ziggy Ansah, was a cheap, great signing, to rotate in and be a part-time player.
Some of his inefficiencies
exactly.
at this stage in his career, right.
And again, Clowney's been a little banged up. So you can rotate in players and keep them fresh for a stretch run. It's a great move. You have Bobby Wagner. They like their young secondary.
Yeah.
They really do like their young secondary. They want to run the ball and play great defense in Seattle, and this helps them. Home run for a third-round pick, Jordan.
For a third-round pick. That's the key here for a third-round pick. Now, Houston, I agree. Houston needs some. They needed some help up front to protect Deshaun Watson, because I say this all the time, Vinny, you have to protect your assets.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
You're right.
Part of the reason why Andrew Luck is no longer playing in the NFL today, look, this was something that accumulated over 4 or 5 years. That's why he's not playing.
Yeah.
I had someone tell me last week, he didn't get sacked until week 11. I don't care. Did you not look at the injuries that this guy had the previous 5 years?
Oh, yeah.
It's an accumulation, right? Deshaun Watson is not a big guy. He's not a big guy. Deshaun Watson is one of those rare type of athletes. He's so stellar athletically that he had success at high school, college, and now the NFL. But he's also had a knee issue. You have to protect that guy. Now, they get Tunsil. Did they give up a lot to get him? Yes, they gave up an awful lot to get him, Vinny. Too much.
So we agree that we like the move for Clowney, right? We like the move for Seattle to get Clowney.
I don't hate the move for Houston.
You don't hate the move for Houston because you're not going to, you got something when you weren't going to get nothing.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. We can agree on that. We can both agree that we like Laremy Tunsil playing left tackle for Watson.
I do.
That makes the Texans show
better.
And their first two out of the first three offensive draft picks or in the draft this year were offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. So they're making the effort. They established a veteran in Matt Khalil who can provide depth now. He doesn't have to start.
Right.
So we can agree it was a good move to help Deshaun Watson. We can also agree that they paid way too much.
Yeah, well, we didn't mention Steals, but who cares at this point in time, right?
Kenny Steals. I mean, come on. The Dolphins wanted rid of Steals just so they didn't have to listen to him anymore. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. Kenny Steals is a good third receiver. He's made some plays in the NFL, but he's been shipped off twice for a reason.
For a good
Kenny
reason.
Kenny Steals is hard to handle. That is obvious. Right, wrong, or indifferent on his opinions, whether you agree with him or not, the guy's hard to handle. Okay? So we can just leave that at that. Tunsil, good football player. Right? Pro Bowl type talent. But Jordan, two twos and a one. So two first round picks and a second round pick.
That's two
number one picks and a second round pick. Yeah. Excuse me, I had that wrong. Yeah, that's a lot.
That's a lot for a Laremy Tunsil. Now, there are other things that you have to consider, and I am a little bit behind. I typically have a mock draft already out for next college football season. So, yeah, you kind of have to pay attention to what you have coming out in the future. But again, to me, this is a desperation. It's an act of desperation.
It's an act of desperation. And for me, it sounds like Bill O'Brien, who is acting as a head coach and a general manager,
and a GM.
He's kind of taking it upon himself to say, look, if he doesn't get a couple playoff wins this year, he has to be fired.
Yeah, so what does he care about the future, right? He's got to win
now. Yeah, that's kind of what it sounds like. When you say desperation, I think you're correct. He's not going to see 2020 or 21 draft if they don't win 10 games and make some noise in the playoffs, Jordan. I firmly believe that.
So now let me ask you this question, though, Vinny. Offensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins, Chad O'Shea. If you're Chad O'Shea, what are you thinking? Like, Sunday night, when Chad O'Shea got into bed, what was Chad O'Shea thinking? And what I'm saying, what I mean by this is a team that now has nothing. They have nothing. They have no help up front. That's why Josh Rosen's not starting. You don't want to kill this kid. He's in his second year in the league. And speaking of injury issues, he has a history of injury issues, right? There's no doubt that Josh Rosen can play football. Everybody knows Josh Rosen can play football. The reason Josh Rosen slipped outside of the top 10, if I remember right, what was he? 10?
Right around the 10th. Yeah, right around the 10th.
The reason why is because of his injury history at UCLA. We've seen him do amazing, incredible things. Still one of the best individual games I have ever seen for a pocket passing quarterback at the college game was his comeback when they beat Texas A&M.
Oh, yeah.
He was incredible.
He can sling it with anybody in the NFL, arm talent-wise.
Why would you put him behind this line, though? That's why Flores at this point in time says, okay, Fitzpatrick, you're in. You got one more year.
You can take the beating.
You're going to take the beating. We're not going to let this young gun take the beating that we gave up a third-round pick for.
And for Brian Flores and Chad O'Shea, both coming from New England, draft capital is huge. Assets are huge. They may have seen that, hey, Laremy Tunsil's not our type of guy. Tunsil's had, Tunsil's had some character concerns in the past.
Yes, he has.
He hasn't. I don't believe he's been in any real trouble in Miami, but maybe he's not their kind of guy. Personally, I think they're the winners in the deal. I think getting the three picks,
you're
rid of two guys
they have draft capital,
that probably don't think fit your New England mold. I mean, basically, that's what they're doing, right? Brian Flores, Chad O'Shea, and those guys, they're trying to say, we're going to build a team, and it's not going to be built around individual players. And they, let's be honest, if you're the Dolphins, you're the winner in this deal. Two first-round picks and a second-round pick. You clear cap space. You get draft capital. You're not going anywhere this year anyways. They know it. They know it. These guys are good football coaches now. They know
they're not
playing a football team.
I wouldn't have given up A1 for Laremy Tunsil.
Yeah, you wouldn't have given up A1. Me neither.
A1.
I wouldn't have. A two, maybe.
Maybe
there's
two.
No way I would have given up a first-round pick for Laremy Tunsil. And they got two out of the deal. and add in a second rounder.
And this is why one of these days I have got to sit in a room when a trade negotiation is going down. It's a bucket list item. I got to see how this happens.
We
got
to see it.
Because
somehow
something tells me that Clowney refused to go to Miami, and rightfully so. Why would he want to go to Miami?
Yeah. Right?
Why would he want to go to Miami?
He made that pretty obvious, I think.
And that trade was leaked. Gee, I wonder who leaked that trade.
Yeah.
I wonder who leaked that. It had to have been Clowney's camp.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as if that foiled that particular trade and forced the hands of the Texans and Dolphins to get a deal done together for Tunsil that did not involve Clowney. That's almost how it seems.
Yeah, it's how it seems. Yeah, they probably did have a deal in place. And at that point, Clowney told them, I'm not going. Make the deal all you want. I'm not going. So then at that point, Miami says, well, if he ain't coming, we ain't going to do this. So what else you got? And for, you know, it's interesting. With Clowney, too, we've seen a lot of movement with Clowney. It was just dead. Remember, dead air, nothing going on. Clowney says, hey, this isn't working for me. And he fired his agent maybe just a week ago.
Yeah.
He fired his agent. You ain't doing nothing for me. Fired his agent, and he's in Seattle. Because you have a 3-day grace period, right? The NFL forces players to wait 3 days before getting a new agent. There's a grace period to forget, tampering charges, whatever.
Sure. Makes sense.
He fires an agent, the 3-day grace period, 2 days later, he's got a new team in Seattle. So, you know, it seems to me that at Clowney wasn't happy with his representation and took it upon himself to fix that. And it seemed to work for him.
Now, one of the things you can say if you're a Texans fan, and it's not all bad, Tunsil's only, what, 25?
Yeah.
26?
He's a good football player. Hey, Tunsil is a good football player. This is a Pro Bowl type talent, and you're making steps, like you said, to protect your asset. I just think they gave up way too much.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, you just look at the other, and again, the trade market's been set now for a left tackle. We didn't know what the trade market was. That's the one thing that I can't get, I can't stress enough. Okay, because Duke Johnson gets moved for, what, a third?
A third.
That does not mean that Antonio Brown being moved for a third was a 3 and a 5.
Three,
correct?
And a 5, yeah.
It doesn't mean that the reason Duke Johnson was moved for a third is because another skill position player was moved for a third. That's not what it is.
No.
The market is dictated by position.
By position, by need, by timing.
Exactly. Timing. Timing's a big one.
Timing's a huge one.
There was no market set for a left tackle. When's the last time a starting left tackle was traded?
Brandon Albert? Was it Brandon Albert?
It might have been Brandon Albert.
Brandon Albert going from Kansas City to Miami, or Miami to Jacksonville, one somewhere in there. I think Brandon Albert got traded. That's the last one I remember.
Yeah, so it really, there's nothing to look back on and say, well, they got fleeced. I think they got fleeced.
I think they got fleeced.
But at the same time, there's nothing to gauge that trade with.
Now, again, if you're looking at this, if you're the Texans, you won 11 games, did you get fleeced? No.
No.
No. Deshaun Watson plays 16 games and throws 35 touchdowns. You win 11 games and you're in the playoffs. Say you reach division round of the AFC Championship. Do you get fleeced?
No.
No. No. Now, if you win 9 games, like you always tend to do in Houston, you win 9 games, losing the wild card round, and now you're down 3 top picks. Did you get fleeced?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM live from the Auto Farm Studios.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. Live from the Auto Forum Studios, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli. Going to continue on the NFL football talk. Let's go more abstract here, Vinny. Now that the season is upon us.
It's right here, Jordan.
It's here.
Hey, it's this week, Thursday night.
We have NFL football tomorrow right here on KOAL.
Oh, it's awesome.
We get the Packers and the Bears tomorrow night. Live coverage is going to begin at 6 p.m. Kickoff is set for 6:20. So now we have to talk locks to get into the postseason. I mean, we could do the prediction game. We could do over and under. Yeah, that's done. Locks to get into the postseason. And the rules here, this was actually brought upon by a listener, that you get 3, I get 3. They're going to hold us to it all year long.
Hold us to it all year long. We're going to switch conferences because I'm a Charger guy and you're a Ram guy. So I'm going to pick the NFC. You pick the AFC. again, a listener come up with this idea. He's like, I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts on this. And we talked about it off the air, and it's interesting.
Well, yeah, it is, because at first I said, okay, NFC's easy. And then I start thinking, well, I feel really comfortable about two of those three picks in the NFC. And you said, well, let's switch them. And I said, okay, well, the AFC's easy. Again, I feel really comfortable with two.
You had three as a lock, and then just...
Things
a little south lately. Yeah, things went a little south lately.
Okay, so you go ahead with the NFC. I'll let you go first. Give me your three locks to get in the postseason NFC.
Okay. So right now, again, this is a tough... The only thing that throws this segment off is the uncontrollable factor of an injury.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to assume that these guys are all playing, and we can't control that. So right now, for me, the three locks to make the playoffs in the NFC, and I'm not picking these all as the division winners, because we could see things happen. There's a lot of teams we like, we've talked about.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I think that Drew Brees and the Saints, I think that Jared Goff and the Rams, and Carson Wentz and the Eagles are locks to make the playoffs in the NFC.
I agree with that.
And I tell you why. I just think even if we see some movement in their divisions, okay? So let's take the Cowboys. Whether everything goes right, Zeke doesn't get arrested, and Dak gets a and Cooper get contracts. We've seen Lyle Collins. They got a good defense. Everything goes their way, and maybe they steal the division. I still think that the Eagles get in. I still think they're a wild card team. So they're locked to make the playoffs. And I feel that way with the Rams in that division. Say, you know, hey, Garoppolo plays lights out and San Francisco makes a huge jump. Or even Seattle plays ground and pound and great defense with Clowney. I still think the Rams get in, whether they win division or not. And that's how I feel about all these teams. So a Saints the same way, because in my mind, I want to pick the Falcons to win that division. I really do. But I think these are the three teams, I think, Jordan, that are locked to get into the tournament. How they get in, it really doesn't matter. I think they all three get in. Great coaches, great quarterbacks. And I think they're going to get in. And one of the other factors in that is, in the NFC North, we both agree, we don't know who's going to win that division. We like all three teams. I like the Packers to win it. Would you be shocked if the Bears or Vikings won that division?
No.
There you go.
Wouldn't be shocked at all. In fact, and I'm assuming that's the reason why you stray away from saying the Chicago Bears are a lock to get in. Although I'll throw this your way. I believe we will see some regression from the Chicago Bears.
I believe that. I think Vic Fangio is a big presence. Again, the first-year coach, it is a veteran offense for him. He's been in a long time. You're going to see something, and I really like the steps those other teams have taken. I think Cousins will be better, and I think the Packers are going to be better. So that's why, yeah, you're right. That's why I shied away from that.
You know, I like how you bring up Fangio being the presence that he is, because one of your locks is the Rams to get in. And for Bear fans out there who are laughing right now or saying you're an idiot, let me put it this way. If Wade Phillips was to leave Los Angeles, would you feel sure about Sean McVay and the Rams getting to the postseason?
Absolutely not.
No.
And you're a Rams homer. And we talk a lot of Rams football, you being a Rams homer.
But that's how important Vangio is to Chicago.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. He was a veteran presence. I like Chuck Pagano. And I think they're going to do a good job. But I really think that division's so tight and so much improved. And I expect to see improvement, maybe not in tangible wins where you can really tell. But I think Detroit will be tougher.
They're going to be better.
They're going to be better.
They're going to be
a tough out. Now, I don't think they win a lot of games, but I wouldn't be surprised if Detroit screws that division up by stealing a win here or there.
I agree.
So, yeah, those are my three, Jordan. Those are my three.
So let's move to the AFC. The Patriots are a lock to get into the postseason.
Always.
And when I say always, you have to throw this out there. They get the Patriots almost get in by default. What I mean by that is that division is so terrible.
It has been.
And it has been for a very long time. Now, I think the Bills are going to be better.
Yep.
I think the Jets are going to be better. I expect big things from Sam Darnold in year two. The Dolphins are a train wreck. The Patriots win the AFC East. And this is kind of the way I'm approaching picking my locks. They will win the AFC East.
Yep. I agree with you.
I'm very comfortable. If anybody gives you even money on the Patriots winning that division, take it. Okay? Odds are you're going to come out on top. Kansas City in the AFC West. I have to believe with the way the offseason has gone with the Chargers, Chiefs are now the favorites in the AFC West.
Look, I agree with that.
You go back two, 3 months ago, that wasn't the case.
No.
you know, who's going to get to 12 wins? Is it going to be the Chiefs or the Chargers? Because whoever gets to 12 wins is going to win that division.
And now, I'm a Chargers homer. Everybody knows it, and I agree with you. I agree.
You got to be realistic.
You have to be realistic.
The injury to Derwin James. I mean, we talked about Melvin Gordon. There's some serious question marks.
Absolutely.
With this Charger team. So give me the Chiefs. Although, I'm telling you right now, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and expecting different results? Chiefs are not good defensively. They're not good on the defensive side of the football.
No, they're not. They are not.
But they will win the AFC West. They may do it by averaging 36, 37 points a game. Very possible, okay? Now, three is where it gets difficult because you were predicting division winners, but I'm trying to think of division winners here, okay? I don't know who's going to win the AFC North. It's the same thing as the NFC North.
Yep.
I don't know who's going to win it. I believe it's going to be Cleveland. If I have to predict, I would say Cleveland. Baltimore would be right behind Cleveland in my mind. And then Pittsburgh, I have a hard time counting Pittsburgh out. But that is a franchise that has just been through so much over the last 3 years. Maybe it's a welcome. Maybe it's completely different in that locker room. I don't know. You get rid of Antonio Brown. And again, this guy's been a nut job for how long?
Yep.
You get rid of this guy finally. They did such a good job of keeping that under wraps that had to have weighed on that locker room. It had to have weighed on everybody in that franchise. Same thing with Le'Veon Bell. That's gone. Still, I believe they're the third best team in that division. I believe that. Not going to say they're a lock, though. Cleveland's a lock to get in. I'm going to stay away from the AFC North because I don't know who gets in there. I take a look at the AFC South. 2 weeks ago, Indianapolis is a lock to get into the postseason. No question.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck stays healthy. They're going to the postseason. It's not the case anymore. The front runner in that division, could it be Jacksonville?
Who knows?
Could it be the Texans?
Think they're missing Telvin Smith right now in Jacksonville?
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So there's question marks in the South. It brings me back to the Chargers. Okay. And again, the reason I got to stick with the Chargers here as my third lock is because if I go back to what I said before the injury to James, and he's going to come back at some point in time this season.
He'll be there for the playoff run.
And I believe that Melvin Gordon will be playing for the Chargers relatively soon. There's no trade market out there for him. He's going to be playing for the Chargers. So I have to believe my locks, Kansas City, the Chargers, the Patriots. May not be any different than last season. We may see the Patriots smoke the Chargers in the opening round. We may see the Patriots beat the Chiefs again on the road. It may happen that way. Once again, I can see it happening that way. But I also, Vinny, I got to take a look at Super Bowl or bust type mentality. The three teams that you mentioned in the NFC, the Saints, just look at Drew Brees' contract.
Yep.
It is Super Bowl or bust this year for them.
They got to make their run.
They will be rebuilding next season if they don't win a Super Bowl this year, okay? The Rams, they were a couple of plays away from winning Super Bowl 53.
Yep. They should have won that game.
Should have won the game. And while their situation isn't exactly Drew Brees, they got to pay Goff next year, and that's going to take a big chunk of the cap. Their season to win is now. Their window to win is right now. Okay, so the Rams have Super Bowl or bust mentality. Same thing with Philadelphia. It's a team that was there 2 years ago, right there, and Alshon Jeffrey dropped pass away from getting back to the NFC Championship game. Carson Wentz stays healthy. Nick Foles isn't there anymore. They've put all their eggs into one basket. It's Super Bowl or bust mentality. I believe it is for the Patriots every year. Anytime you have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, maybe even more so now. Maybe there's even more urgency because we don't know how much longer Tom Brady is going to be playing, right? Kansas City, boy, it's a stinger. You go to overtime last year. They bring back just about everybody offensively. Tyreek Hill's now going to be serving a suspension. Now there is certainty at running back with Damian Williams. You know, Kareem Hunt's not there anymore. It's a headache that's gone. It's not a storyline.
Nice pickup on Shady McCoy.
They got Shady McCoy.
Nice pickup.
So championship or bust for the Chiefs. I also feel, Vinny, and this is maybe a completely different route to go because the Chargers, in my mind, they're right there anyway. But consider this. This is a franchise that has to win right now.
They have to.
They have to win right now. And this goes beyond Phillip Rivers. It goes beyond his expiration date. There's a lot of question marks on if LA is a two-team city to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They are so far behind the Rams right now. They are so far behind. And you being a Chargers homer, you know this.
Oh, yeah.
Right? When you go to SoCal, there's the Rams, there's USC, and then there's the Chargers.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
LA,
a problem.
The town of LA, yeah, absolutely.
That's a problem. Because
they've got to be relevant.
They have to be. They have to be relevant. You will always be the little brother going into the new stadium if you don't do something this year. Right? The urgency, the time, it's now for the Chargers. Now, I understand there's been all these other storylines that have worked against the Chargers in the offseason. But with that being said, when I look at talent, those to me are the three most talented teams in the AFC. Cleveland's right there with them. Cleveland's right there on a talent scale. Yep. I just don't trust that talent scale. Yeah. There's a
Cleveland's
difference
there. But you don't trust the structure.
No.
Because, you know, Tommy Telesco's highly regarded. Anthony Lynn's highly regarded. Andy Reid's highly regarded. Belichick's the greatest coach that ever walked the earth. So, in Cleveland, you don't have that yet. Again, they took a step forward, and they went through two coaches last year. So, do we trust them? I'm with you. I don't know. They're going to have to show me. They're still the Cleveland Browns until they show me they're not the Cleveland Browns. Just as, hey, you're still the world champs until somebody beats you and you're not the world champs. You're still the Cleveland Browns until you prove to the world, hey, we're not the Cleveland Browns anymore.
Well, what tips the scale? What evens the scale? Because, yeah, you could look at Kansas City and say Tyreek Hill's a problem child, and he is. He's a wild child. And without Tyreek Hill, I think he's worth 3 to 4 wins for that team minimum. I think he's that important.
He's that important to that offense, yes. You're right. When he was going to be suspended, the Chiefs were off the Super Bowl bandwagon.
Yeah, they were.
They really were. He's because that important. He changes the offense. That kind of speed changes the game, the entire game.
And I think Odell is in the same category. I think Odell can change the game. And if you go back, you take a look at what this guy did with the Giants. He was phenomenal. But when I look at Cleveland and I look at Kansas City, the situations are so different. I can tilt the scale. Andy Reid is a respectable guy. You know, Andy Reid is the leader within that organization. He is. Everybody respects Andy Reid. I don't know who tips the scale to make it even. Who brings balance in Cleveland to Baker Mayfield, to Jarvis Landry, to Kareem Hunt, to Odell Beckham? Who's tilting the scale here? So I see leadership in New England. I see it in Kansas City. I see it with the Chargers. I don't see it in Cleveland, and that's why they're not a lock.
And I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%. And again, I'm going to sound like a homer. I'm a homer. I love the Chargers. But Anthony Lynn is a man's man. He is hardcore.
But even if he's not, you have Phillip Rivers.
Exactly right. You do have Phillip Rivers, and you have guys like that. Now Thomas Davis on the other side of the ball.
Yeah, you got plenty of guys on that team.
We're going to see. And for Cleveland and the Chargers the same way, it's either going to be the Chargers are going to say, hey, guys, we're going to galvanize over this, get through it, and get better and peak at the end of the year right at the right time, or it's going to be too much for them to overcome to start, and they're going to fumble. And again, this isn't a world where, let's be honest, Jordan, one injury changes everything.
It does.
No, right now, we're just saying with a stacked deck of cards where you have all your guys. We both agree on the locks. Now, what's your three to not make it? Three right now that you can just guarantee are not going to be anywhere near the playoff race. Your top three picks next year draft. Let's just call it that way.
Miami. I'm going to go Cincinnati and Arizona.
And I was on the same. Without even talking about this off air, we're on the same page. Yeah, those three. That's the top three picks next year's draft.
Yeah, they will not go to the playoffs.
And they're going to be, if they're not the top three, it's because of trades or an order. Those are your top picks next year.
And you're going to go with the Rams, the Saints, and the Eagles, locks to get in.
Yep.
I'm going to roll in the AFC with the Patriots, Chiefs, and Chargers. They are locks to get in. And with that, we are out of time on this edition of the show. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.